cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Diane Reeves from the soundtrack to the film Good Night and Good Luck. Matthew Goldwasser joins us on our often featured Jazz on Film, and the film we've selected, the film from 2005, directed by George Clooney, Good Night and Good Luck. I think we got a winner here, Matthew.
I think so, too. This is a black and white film, so for those of you who've not seen black and white in a while and want to remind yourself what's great about it, this is what's great about it.
It's for me, any excuse to play Edward R. Murrow is cool. I mean, let's do that. But, Clooney really brought that whole era of the 1950s to life. What's the setting for Good Night and Good Luck?
This looks at a slice in time in which the beginning of the news organization with Edward R. Murrow then and now still as sort of the gold standard of journalism, television journalism, and his relationship and confrontation with Senator Joe McCarthy, whose claim to fame was his knowledge, real and imagined, of communists and communist sympathizers in the government, in public office, and in the public eye.
And this was the whole era where lots of people in public life had to signed the oath that said, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And historically, it was a rise of the Soviet Union and of Communist China, so there were some real threats that were out there.
And people really remembered the war and the concept of international enemies. It was really, really vivid at the time. So we've got a clip from Murrow's speech to the radio TV news directors, a great setting for his words, the actual words of Murrow?
The whole film uses all of the actual events that occurred, and all of Murrow's speeches are there verbatim. This particular speech bookends the film.
We are currently wealthy, fat, comfortable, and complacent. We have a built-in allergy to unpleasant or disturbing information. Our mass media reflect this. But unless we get up off our fat surpluses and recognize that television, in the main, is being used to distract, delude, amuse, and insulate us, then television and those who finance it, those who look at it, and those who work at it may see a totally different picture too late.
If you want to have fun, come on with me. You can stay all night and play with my TV. TV is the thing this year. TV is the thing this year. Radio is great, but it's not a date. TV is the thing this year. Last night I was watching Old Tom Mix. My TV.
Diane Reeves appearing in Good Night and Good Luck throughout the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, the film has a sort of documentary feel. It's very stylish. You see people in expensive suits sipping cocktails and that ever-present cigarette smoke. And, of course, to set the mood even further, we have jazz.
Yeah, and you see Diane Reeves clearly in that 50s mode with her hair and her dress and everything else. So Diane was ready for it.
Hair straightened, shiny. In this scene, which is very early in the film, depicts her in the studios at CBS, maybe doing a recording or a broadcast.
The studios, the same studios that were used for news, were also used for variety shows. So it was quite common when the news program wasn't on to have the variety groups rehearsing. So we see Diane rehearsing with her band. All of the stunt was done live. All of these were one or two takes at best. And the music was selected and produced by Rosemary Clooney's longtime manager and producer, Alan Swiadorf.
Just give us a note here, Matthew, because you pointed out to me the film does not have a lot of music in it. The soundtrack's really rich, like 12 cuts or something. But they were very, kind of sparing in their use of music.
It's a strange set of choices, very unique. Really, the soundtrack is silence. Mm-hmm. This is very much a movie about talking heads, mm-hmm. making speeches, and they use silence very much to punctuate and accentuate the drama of the messages that were set there. And the only music that occurs in the film is Diane Reeves' band and her singing.
Yeah. The other interesting connection there with Rosemary Clooney is that Rosemary Clooney is George Clooney's aunt and was a big Diane Reeves fan and recommended that to her nephew. You've got to hear Diane Reeves. And that was the beginning of that connection.
When Diane Reeves was at the CSO just a couple of months ago, she made very affectionate references to working so closely with George Clooney.
And this particular soundtrack won her fourth Grammy for Best Jazz Vocal Recording.
Any closing remarks on Clooney's meaning? Films are the director's film. Is there a big statement? It seems as relevant today as it was when it happened, and certainly in 2005.
Well, let me give you just a little quote that shows up in the commentary to the film on the DVD, where Clooney sums up. He says that it's important to have conversations about people who are uncompromising because everyone seems to be compromising now. And that the truth is that there couldn't be another Edward R. Murrow, that Walter Cronkite was the last anchor who had any power to shape the public opinion. But wouldn't it be nice to have people that said, no, car chases aren't news. We're not going to show them on news. And Clooney goes on to say that what he hopes the real legacy for Murrow is that young kids in journalism now who see the film will say, hey, that's who I want to be. And he says, it's fun to be represented by people performing at their best. He said, I'm always the guy who's in the car driving home saying, this is what I should have said. But Murrow was the guy who did it right then and there.
Good. Matthew Goldwasser, thanks for bringing us Good Night and Good Luck.
You're very welcome.
Nothing's impossible, I found, for when